If you would, you can turn to the 16th chapter of John. Well, we're going to tackle a word that we're going to preach on is unique to John. I don't believe it's mentioned in any of the four Gospels as the Holy Spirit being a comforter. And just thinking about this week, and the Lord spoke to our heart, and we hope to convey that, which was we thought about. If you'd want to turn there, it's starting with the first verse of the 16th chapter. You know, I'm afraid today that we would like to think, and Christians no doubt are accused by atheists of being superstitious, that they would classify us as the people years ago that really had no knowledge of who God was, but yet they feared, as it were, the supernatural, and they blamed events on the gods being angry or the gods being pleased and whatnot. And today, atheists would say that of Christians still yet today, that we're a superstitious people, that what we believe is all wrapped in mysticism. And, you know, unfortunately, they're true. That's a true statement with a lot of so-called Christians. You know, the more I come in contact with people that consider themselves Christians, that go to church, we see that they are increasingly superstitious, that when things are going good, they think that somehow that they are, as it were, God's being pleased with them, and when things are going bad, that somehow maybe this is not what the Lord would have them to do. And I think it is the events in our life that we should reflect on when certain calamities come upon our life. I think it would do us all well to step back and to evaluate, are we doing anything that is displeasing to the Lord? But we shouldn't, those that have, that the Bible tells us that we are to walk by faith and not by sight, we should not be discouraged when hard things come, because the Lord told us that they would. We should have a relationship with that Comforter, with the Holy Spirit, so that we're not constantly second guessing ourselves and thinking, should I be doing this or shouldn't? When we get on our knees and we pray to the Lord, He'll give us, as it were, a clarity in our life, and then we can get up from our knees and continue to do the Lord's will, and be not surprised when things do get hard. Not to second guess ourselves and say, well, maybe since this is not going easy, this ain't what the Lord would have us to do. Because if the early church would have had that attitude, they wouldn't have got accomplished what needed to be accomplished. But they understood that it was our success is not measured by whether we have easy lives or hard lives. Our job is to be obedient to the Lord. And we can find that He is there for us and that He has provided for us a comforter that will comfort us. The Bible, Job, I think, said of his friends, he said, miserable comforters are ye. And you know why that they were miserable comforters? They had come and they had, as it were, passed judgment on Job without first not listening to Job. They had in their mind that they was going to come and they was going to show Job what he needed to do, and not understanding who Job was or what that he needed, and they didn't listen to him. But we don't have to worry about that with the Comforter, the sweet Holy Spirit. He knows us better than we know ourselves. And it says here in the first verse, it says, these things have I spoken unto you that ye should not be offended. They shall put you out of the synagogue, yea, and the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doth God's service. And these things will they do unto you because they have not known the Father nor me. But these things have I told you, that when the time shall come, ye may remember that I told you of them. And these things I said not unto you at the beginning, because I was with you. But now I go away to him that sent me, and none of you asketh me, whither goest thou? But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin because they believe not on me. Of righteousness because I go to my Father and ye see me no more. Of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, of that shall he speak, and he will shew you things to come. Okay, here we have Jesus Christ speaking to his disciples. You know, when I think it would do us well that any time that we read God's Word, though it was written for all mankind, we know that a lot of times that, especially Jesus here, he's addressing a particular person or a particular group of people. You know, I guess this week I was thinking, I know that in past that I thought that, it's a good thing that we have the Holy Spirit. I thought about, wouldn't it have been wonderful to walk there at the Sea of Galilee and to walk amongst all of those that seen Jesus Christ with their eyes, and that because we have a Comforter, it's the next best thing. That's what I've thought of a lot. Boy, wouldn't it have been nice to see him, but because he went away, he sent a Comforter, and it's the next best thing. But here we find what Jesus Christ, not only is he speaking to all of us that would ever read God's Holy Word, but he was specifically speaking to his disciples, and he was telling them that he needs a leave. He needs to go away. And Daryl might say, well, he needs to go away because when he was on this earth, he couldn't be, as it were, walking amongst the people in North America. He couldn't be walking amongst the people that's in Europe. He couldn't be walking with those over there, as it were, in Asia. And he had to leave so that the Holy Spirit might come unto all men. But I want to tell you today, though he knew that these words was going to be read by me and you, he was talking to his disciples, and he said, we can read it again. I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you, but if I depart, I will send him unto you. He was telling the disciples, of those that had walked next to him, that I must go away so that the Comforter might come. We was thinking of this week, that God would rather choose to dwell in the hearts of men than he would to be dwelling right beside you. You know, I thought in my mind, I thought, there, you got the second best thing, that this was God's doing. Jesus Christ would prefer, it's a beautiful thing, church, that he would dwell in the hearts of men. Now let's look at it for a little bit. Think about the 12 disciples. There they walked and they talked to him. When they laid their head on their pillow at night, they had questions in their mind. And they thought, I'm going to wait. Come morning, and I'm going to ask Jesus about this. We find that they were, as it were, sheep without a shepherd. When they led Jesus Christ away, and he said, I've got to go so that I might come back and dwell in your heart. The glory of God, my Jesus, had provided us with something so precious that even the 12 disciples were lacking. And he said, I've got to go away, Peter. I've got to go away, John, so that I might come back and be a comforter unto you. And I'm glad that the Lord will do that.
for each and every one of us. If we just open up our heart, let's think about it, church. We ourselves are to be as Jesus was. Jesus come down to this earth, and He walked amongst people. He stood beside them to declare to them who He was. And that's what the Lord would have us to do today. He would have us to walk in this world to point others that Jesus Christ is to stand as it were beside them and declare what could be placed within them as Jesus did. And when we look at our world and those that bear the name of Jesus Christ on their lips and say, I'm a Christian, I want to tell you, miserable converts are they. Why? Because they do not possess the attributes of Jesus Christ. And because of that, the message has been somewhat diminished. Because man can't get his eyes past or beyond those that are professors of Jesus Christ, but yet not possessors. And we see it today. But I'm thankful those of us that would be content to stand by this world and say, I want to tell you of one that can come, one that has come, and put up his abode in my heart, that if you would confess your sin unto Him, that Holy Spirit that has come to convict the hearts of man, that will abide in you, that you can lay in your bed at night and ask and ponder all these questions that have eternal consequences, and the Holy Spirit will be right there to tell us what we need and provide it for us, so that when troubles come, when those, as it were, would put us to death thinking they were doing a God's service. Wow, how could anybody do that? I tell you how. By having His ways on the outside of them, but not placing them within them. When we live in a culture today, there's probably more laws today than there's ever been. And yet we see so probably few of them, less of them enforced today than when we was a child. You know, some, we were talking about that yesterday with a gentleman. He was talking about a particular law, and he said, you know, they're not enforcing it. And I said, it's just one of those laws that if you got in trouble, have you ever seen somebody, they'll try to prosecute them against one crime and they add all these other crimes that are related to it that no doubt they would not have been charged with because they broke this one law, then when they go to prosecute them, they throw all these others on it. And that's the way this world is. We heard about where there's thieves that are because copper's got so expensive, they are stealing the copper off the power poles, or taking down lines off of right-of-ways and stuff, the old home places where there is no body living there, or as it were, summer homes. They're going right in and they're stripping the wire. A representative in the state that said that we need to pass a law that there might be a more severe penalty for somebody stealing this wire from the power companies. And you know, I thought, well, you know, that might curtail it or quit it or whatever, but sounds to me like the penalty for stealing maybe needs to be increased across the board. The power company, their possessions ain't no more valuable than mine. Why is it a man can steal copper off of me and get one sentence, but yet if they pass this law, they steal it off the power company, it's as if it were a greater crime. But we're going to stand before a God one these days, and if we have not the Comforter abiding in us, we're going to get a Jonas judgment. There's not going to be, as it were, connections made. There's not going to be loopholes in His law. And that's why I'm thankful that when Jesus Christ come, His whole purpose was not to dwell beside men, but was to dwell in their hearts. And it blesses Daryl beyond all words to think that the Lord would look down on me, that I was just a little pimple-faced boy. It would want to dwell in my heart. And this is something I'll never be able to comprehend, why He would want to do that. Who see Him by faith, who have called out His name, and said, Lord, fill this empty spot within my soul with that sweet, holy presence of the Spirit of God, the Spirit of truth, which is that Comforter. Do you have Him? Do you have Him in your heart? Did you hear what I said? I said, did you have Him? Listen to me. It's not in me. It is the presence of God Almighty. Something we don't listen or hear very much anymore. You know, it seems as if there's very little tolerance for the name of Jesus Christ. The chaplains in the military, they don't want them praying rather in Jesus' name. It's a name that is intolerant in our political and correct society. And why is that? Because Jesus Christ come and He said, I am the truth and the life. He said, there is no other door, no other door unto the Father but me. That's offensive to a lot of people that's trying to go in another door. That's why when the name of Jesus is mentioned, it leaves those on the outside that's trusted in Buddha or Muhammad or anybody else. But I'm thankful that we not only are followers of Jesus Christ, but not only is He, as it were, when He left this world, the Bible teaches me that He went on high to be our intercessor. But yet there is a Holy Trinity, and I'm thankful beyond words that we don't have a twofold God, but that we have a threefold God as a cord that is not easily broken. And the Lord knew that we'd be as old Peter was, standing there when Jesus Christ was before His accusers. Jesus knew we'd be as Peter, wanting to do what's right, but not having the courage. But that's why He said, I'm going to go away so that you'll not have to stand by the fires of this world, but to warm yourself and be all alone. I go away so that you can have my Holy Spirit abiding in your heart, that you'll never have to say, I'm all alone. You'll never be as Jesus Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane when He had, as it were, a burden that He could not bear. And He prayed, Lord, not my will, but thine be done. That when we come to our Garden of Gethsemane, we have a Comforter that will fill us to the overflowing. That'll wrap our arms around us in the hot summer sun. We'll send the breeze to cool our brow. In the cold, they'll give us warmth to keep us warm. And in the tribulation and in the struggles in life, to reassure us that we do not walk by sight, but we walk by faith. Listen, if there's been anybody that's ever suffered for well-doing,
And we need to thank God. And when we're in the midst of that, and because Christians, you know, today suffer for well-doing as well as evil-doing. And you know, there's not a one of us. But today, as we've already mentioned, there's so many laws. I think it's sad. I think that it's sad that we have a tax system. That it takes somebody that is a studier of laws to help you maneuver through it. And I'm not just talking about somebody doing their simple time, but I'm talking if you have a business or whatever, there are those that would advise you that you had better get you a CPA. You better get you somebody, a tax lawyer, to help you make the most valuable decision, because if you make the wrong one, you might cost yourself some money. But you know, unfortunately, there has been people that have been honest, that have found themselves in violation of some tax law. And because of it, they are considered to have broke the law. And because of it, they are a criminal. And we know that because of the heavy fines with the tax code, that there are some that find themselves in the position, although they are Christians, that they would find themselves in the position to owe a tax bill that they could not pay because of all the fines. And because of it, they're suffering, as it were, for evil's sake, because they transgressed a law of man. And then there are those that are suffering for well-doing, because they have that comforter inside, and they're trying to walk beside man and point him to Christ. That there are those that are offended. There are those that say, you'll not do that or say that in a public place or in a place of business. And they say, you're not going to seal my lips because I've got a comforter inside of me. And he has told me, declared to this world, that they too can have a comforter abiding in them. And we find ourselves at times, because of the stand we have taken, that is real, that is the foundation of our faith, that we might suffer for well-doing, that we can rejoice and know that the other world might say, you need to change your position. We've got a comforter that will give us clarity in a midnight hour when the moon is darkened by the clouds of sin, and it looks as if the sun will never shine. We don't walk by sight. Glory to God, we walk by faith. And we're led by that comforter who uses the holy word and not anyone's private interpretation to keep us, as it were, on the course that God would have us go. Do you have that kind of relationship with the Lord? Or are you superstitious? I had a man, I believe, because of him trying to send me a package in the mail twice, that I think that he took this as some omen, because we didn't get it. That he took it as some omen, as maybe you shouldn't have anything to do with me. That's the only thing I can figure. Maybe that ain't nothing of it at all. But when we talked to him last, that was our understanding. You know, there's people like that. Well, listen, you do what's right, and you do what's right, and you do what's right, regardless of how hard it might be. How many people looked at Paul's life and said, boy, he needs to get in the will of God. Look at him. He's out of the will of the Lord. He got arrested. He wouldn't compromise. He got arrested by the very people that he used to belong to. And because he would not present Christ to them in a more favorable way, they've turned him over to the Romans, and we know how wicked they are. He's not going to build, as it were, his reputation or anything in this life. And look at him. And did you hear why they sent him on a ship in the middle of the winter? and he shipwrecked on an island. Did you hear about that? Oh, I nearly perished. Did you hear a snake bit him? My goodness, when is this Paul going to catch on and realize that he needs to come underneath the authority of God? Somebody needs to kill this man. After all, look what he's doing for the cause of Christ. And yet he goes on and on, and in every hardship, he's still declaring Jesus Christ. We need to get rid of this false prophet. Look at him. It was as if all of the universe is against him. But yet Paul declared the truth. He gave God the glory. When he was arrested by the Romans, he gave God the glory. When he was standing on a ship and it was breaking apart, he gave God the glory. When he shook a snake off in the fire, and he gave God the glory. When he stood before the magistrates and the rulers of the world, and he declared Christ unto them. And the Bible is full of those that were not superstitious, but those that had vision and knew exactly,
thank you, Lord,
that the ways of Christ is not necessarily easy, but they sure are a lot easier to accomplish than when we have the Comforter.
Right.
You know, I'm afraid some of us sometimes are gun shy. I got it. We got some mutts there at the house. And the one that's the grittiest when it comes to killing a possum or an armadillo or running in on a cow to nip her heels, he's short, he's longer and huskier than his brother, but he's short-legged, and he can whip his brother. But you know what? For whatever reason, to my knowledge, none of them's been shot at with a gun. But old Axel, we call him Axel. I call him that because he's still as long as an axle. And Axel, though, because he's grittier, he'll jump on a dog three times his size. You get a gun out of just a little .22, and you shoot, and he runs for a house. But his brother that he can whip, his brother that's not as skilled at him at killing varmints, stands right there. Maybe he's caused to death, I don't know. But he don't have no problem whatsoever with a gun. I'm afraid a lot of times us as Christians are like old Axel instead of Lugnut, his brother. We're gun shy. And why should we be? Well, Darrell, because I've been shot at. But if that was the case, and you're here today because God is our protector. Sometimes we fear those things that we need not fear, just like Axel, my dog. Barney, he realized that when the gun comes out, this means that there's a time that he can jump on a critter that I've shot and won't fight near as hard as when he catches him by himself. But yeah, he's running to the house. And he has all the facilities that the Lord has blessed this little dog with to combat the evils in his world a whole lot better than his brother. Are we like him sometimes? Are we gun shy? You know, I'm thankful that the Lord has blessed us with all that He's given us. And the wisdom at times to discern those things we don't fully understand. But when it's all said and done, Jesus Christ went away so that He might abide in our hearts. That He would choose rather to dwell in the heart of Peter, James, and John, and Andrew, and the other disciples, than just dwell beside them. And this is the beauty of it. And that in Him going away, He can dwell in our hearts too. You know, it's funny, we got four youngins at the table sometimes. They want to sit beside me. Well, you know what? I've only got two sides. I've got four children. Jubal yet has not learned to argue this point, but I've got three children that sometimes argue about that. Who's going to set beside Papa? See where the limitations are in this physical world? Jesus Christ was here today. There could only be so many people near Him, in the proximity of Him, within His presence. But because He would choose to come into the hearts of men, I can be on my bed at night with a burden too heavy for me to carry. And that sweet Holy Spirit, the Comforter, can communicate to me what the Lord would have me know and do and give me the strength to bear all that He would have me to bear. And to me, church, that is a blessing. So then, the Comforter, as it were, is not the next best thing. But this is what Jesus Christ preferred over being beside us. Let's get some song to sing. Aren't you glad He promised us that He would not leave us comfortless? You know, this world that we live in is a rude and a loud and an inconsiderate world. And so many people in this world that communicate to us are constantly being, as it were, loud and boisterous. But Jesus Christ so many times chooses to speak to us in a still small voice through His Comforter, the Holy Spirit. Christ in the Spirit. And but because we have been so tuned to listening to the world, we don't listen or hear, as it were, that still small voice. We've not positioned ourselves to find a secret place, as it were, a quiet place, and that we might meditate upon the things of God. And we think that in times in our life that we are left, as it were, comfortless. But we are not. We just need to steal away and pray, and we will find the answers to our prayers. If you're born again today, the Lord has equipped you for the battle of today. Let us not be as my little dog. The fear of all those things that we need not fear. For the Lord has equipped us for the battle that's ahead. We would but trust in Him. You know, we use that analogy of my dog. They have no defense. Other than two things, really. Their teeth and their legs, right? And them running away. But a dog, it's hard for a dog to fight when he's running the other direction. Because the only thing he's got that'll do any damage whatsoever is on the other end. I think that we should have a relationship with God through His Holy Spirit, that when things are troubling us, when it seems as if this world is, as it were, things are going hard or wrong or not easy, that we should have a relationship with God, that we should know instantaneously that this is not the doings of the Lord, because we are walking in His ways. I've already stated that it would do us all well from time to time to look and reflect. When we build a fence, sometimes we have to stand back
two or three or four posts that we've already hammered in the ground to see which direction we're going. It would do us all well to do that from time to time. But a man that is constantly pondering or wondering, as it were, in the valley of decision is a man that never gets anywhere. And that's why it's vitally important that we see to it that we walk by faith and not by sight. And that we walk. You know, there are those that are so afraid, as it were, to walk by sight that they don't walk at all. But He would have us walk by faith.